The Morning Rush podcast is brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up with Bud Light for game days and check out Budweiser's limited edition Freedom Reserve. Please drink responsibly.
They're going to run and get that boot.
This game's still alive and the Hawks have a first down.
Who wants to talk football?
It's Ronnie Wingo, number 20. Touchdown, Arkansas.
They talked the bar.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast.
Tommy. I know that we've talked a lot about it. First off, it's good to see you. I guess I'm not really seeing you, but good to hear from you. Is that a better word?
Yeah, I'm in our Hot Springs bureau studio today. So, good to hear from you. And hard to believe it's been a year already.
I know.
I don't know if it's me. Is it just me or just seems like the years get faster as we get older? So.
No, I completely agree. I've been saying that forever. It's like, you know, it just seems like yesterday, you know, you're in college or you're in high school and whatnot, and then boom, and you just... You're an adult, and you're having adult problems, and you realize, man.
I mean, summer's over. I mean, my kids go back to school tomorrow, so today is the official last day of summer. So, you know, I don't know if it'll be red wine or white wine in about 24 hours for my wife, but I'm sure she's ready. So.
Either way, she's going to be prepared for
Bloody
it.
Marys, mimosas, it'll be on tomorrow morning, you know.
Oh, yeah, my goodness. So, well, what grade is your kids
going to
be in this year?
Abigail's going into the first grade. And Dylan will be going into the third grade.
Wow. Look at that. But, you know, I bet you would even flies by faster when you have kids and whatnot.
I mean, Abigail's birthday is this weekend, and she'll be seven. And it just seems like it was a few months ago that, you know, I was at the hospital and she's being born. So, yeah, I mean, it's just 7 years has flown by with her. So, yeah.
Man.
Yeah, so this last 12 months when talking about, you know, a whole – different subject, obviously, but, you know, with Coach Broz and the start of a new football season and just, you know, just where the summer has went, just, you know, just time moving on, just hard, you know, just everything just seems to be so sped up these days.
Oh,
so.
Without question. And, in fact, you know.
Except the start of practice yesterday.
Yes, exactly. they didn't really move to the pace and to the tempo that Coach Chad Morris wanted them to. And, you know, we're going to talk about that and the funny things that came about it. Dealing with that. But, yeah, Tommy, it's been a full year, and, you know, it's just kind of weird for someone. I know I'm a little younger and whatnot, and I didn't get to really experience the Frank Broyles being the athletic director as long. Because I think, what was it, he retired as the athletic director in 2007?
End of 07.
End of 07. And
Jeff Long came in and kind of worked alongside of Frank Broyles. I believe it was in September or October, it was in the falls during football season, and they transitioned together. And then, of course, there was the change with Houston Nutt at the end of that season, and we all know that, you know, how that went down, and Jeff Long made the hire. But, yeah, it was officially the last day of 2007 was his last official day as AD. So.
Yeah, 34 years as the athletic director of the University of Arkansas from 1973 to 2007. Such a long time, and you know it's
but over 50 years at the university.
That's right. That's right. As a head football coach and dealing with it, and even after he retired as the athletic director, Tommy, he was still almost as big of a part of the University of Arkansas, and you know the Broyles Foundation and the Razorback Foundation and all of that, just as big of a part of the University of Arkansas when he was retired as athletic director. So you could even tack on even more years if you wanted to when dealing with that, but. You know, it's just funny because you think we talk about people, and especially in this day and age, and how, you know, we look at brilliant minds. Like you look at a Nick Saban, just a brilliant football coach, and how he's one of the best in the business. Or if you look at some type of owner or general manager of a big time team, a big time franchise in NFL, NBA, whatever it is, and you just appreciate them and you respect them. But very, very few people were able to accomplish as many things and do as many things as Frank Broyles. If you think about what he did as a football player, what he did as a football coach, as an athletic director, as a broadcaster, as a fundraiser, I mean, just everything that he was able to accomplish in the 92 years of his life, you just don't see that type of thing anymore. You don't see somebody like that be able to transcend and have so many different things going on in their life and be so good at all of them and be respected for all of them. And you know, it's just that's one of the things I look at Coach Broyles and I respect even more out of him, because that he did. It wasn't just like one thing. It was many things that he did so well. And it's almost like a lost art in this day and age where people, and it's not saying that it's a bad thing that people just focus on one deal, but he just was it seemed like he was always ahead of the curve, man, when it came to making decisions, when it came to seeing the foresight of what was going to go on in the future of football and of athletics and everything. He just always seemed a little one step ahead above everybody else.
No, I think, you know, we're obviously having this discussion because of the 1 year mark, but I think it's good to look back a year later, because it's hard when you're in the moment to really, you know, have the proper perspective. Now, we had plenty of time leading up to Coach Broyles' passing, and certainly there was a good amount of separation between his work and his death. It wasn't untimely or caught anyone off guard, I guess is the way to put it. But you know, you just reflect back, and you have a year to really think about all of the things that he accomplished, and the fact that, you know, here you are a year later, and the guy's impact around your university, around your athletic department, his fingerprints are everywhere. And they're still as evident today as they were a decade ago, 25 years ago, 35 years ago, that, you know, his impact is still felt on a daily basis.
Without a question. And Tommy, I've always asked this question to just people, just to get their reaction, but it just makes you wonder, where would Arkansas, just since that's what we're talking about, where would Arkansas, the University of Arkansas, the athletic department, where would it be right now without Frank Broyles?
Well, I mean, obviously it would have went down a whole different path. You wonder if the 64 national championship in football would have ever happened. I think it would have been safe to say that you wouldn't have won one then. Would you have ever attracted a Hall of Fame type talent to be your head coach and later your AD? What was more meaningful to the university, Frank Broyles as head coach or Frank Broyles as AD? I mean, That's a legitimate discussion, because he was just as impactful as the CEO, if you will, of the athletic department. And I know it overlapped for a couple of years, but it wasn't long. But, you know, his work as AD and certainly the 64 national championship stands out in his days as the coach, but the move from the Southwest Conference to the Southeastern Conference would be, to me, an equal moment as an AD that he pulled off and made happen. And those are two of the biggest moments of his time at the University of Arkansas, and I don't think anyone's perspective on that's changed. But he had, to me, that's where you start, you know, if you talk about biggest accomplishments, is those two. And I don't know which one is ahead of the other, because one kind of helps define who your program is and gives you something you've not had since 1964. The other completely changed the path of your program and put you on a whole different trajectory. And you talk about, where would Arkansas be if Coach Broyles had not had the vision and the ability to see down the road and what the future of the Southwest Conference was, and that Arkansas was going to have trouble having a home in a conference and finding Arkansas a place at the table in the SEC, you may have been a nomad in college athletics for a while. Yeah. And he was certainly ahead of the curve on that.
Yeah, no doubt. And he also, in a lot of those decisions, they may have been looked at as controversial at the time. You know, moving to the SEC, it was a controversial move at the time.
Uprooted a lot of traditions.
Yeah, that's right. And a lot of traditions and a lot of connections and a lot of things that so many fans and so many people around that conference at the time were just so used to. But even think back to, you know, hiring Nolan Richardson at the time, mm-hmm. an African-American coach during that time in the South, was a major controversial move. And we all know the rest is history on the impact that Nolan Richardson had on the basketball program and delivering a national championship. But those are the types of things you just look at, and it's like, not only was he able to just sit back and do really well, but he took risk. I mean, he really did, and they ended up paying out dividends in major ways. And, I mean, it's just, again, we could go on and on. I don't know if 3 hours is going to be long enough, Tommy, to talk about that. We are going to talk about other things, too. Right. But it's just, those are the things that are just incredible to talk about.
It just seems appropriate for a few reasons. A, it's the one-year mark. And, two, they're releasing this documentary, this film, on ArkansasRazorbacks.com later today. It's about 14 minutes. And I think a lot of people will take 14 minutes out of their schedule sometime in the next few weeks, few days, whatever it is, to watch this. And I don't know how you sum up a career and how you sum it all up in 14 minutes with with the impact he had, but I can't wait to watch it.
Arkansas's home for the best sports talk. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Adams with it at the 45. Adams skip it. Adams gets outside. Watch out. Hits the sideline. The Jet. Touchdown, Arkansas.
We have really had a mild end of July, first part of August by Arkansas standards. They're normally roasting. I was driving to Hot Springs last night, and like 5:30, it's 77 degrees. It was what it says on the car. I'm like, this is unbelievable, you know. It just had a little storm, a little shower move through, and like, wow, you know. Just it's like a fall-like day. We're getting a little early preview of fall here.
You know, you just jinxed us completely right there.
Well, if I had that power, I'm not going to waste it on the weather.
There you go. So. That's true, too. But I still, until I see
if I had that power, do you think we'd have dropped that fly ball? That pop fly?
No, Tommy.
If I had that kind of power, I wouldn't. Those kind of things would happen, John.
But you know what? What does your power transfer over across the borders? Because you were in Mexico, you know?
If you have that kind of power, there are no borders.
That's true. But, maybe next time when you maybe you can find a way to have that power and you can control the weather a little bit, that'd be helpful. But I just know that on that first game, September 1st, 3 o'clock first kick for Arkansas, it's going to be about 100 degrees. I'm calling it.
It'll be 72 where I'm watching. That's one of the battles, I'm telling you. That's one of the battles administrators like Hunter Yurecek and other ADs and facing around the sport. You get an opponent like Eastern Illinois, and I think there'll be a lot of excitement, the newness of a season. I want to see what Chad Morris and his team's like. I think there'll be a lot of people that want to go and see what the newly renovated stadium looks like this year. There's a lot of reasons to be at the stadium this year. But a 3 o'clock game, if the forecast is, you know, nuclear, if it's 100-degree heat index, it's going to be a challenge this year. But, there's a lot of reasons to, you know, that people will want to go to, you know, even people that didn't buy season tickets want to walk up, find them on one on the sidewalk or get some from somebody. There's going to be a lot of people that want to be at some of these games just to see some things this year that are new. Stadium, coach, offense, you know, defense, on and on. So
yeah, that's right. So look for that first game. It's probably going to have a nice crowd there as long as the weather holds out because of those reasons right there. So what is it, 18 days away?
Yep.
18 days away. So close. We're into the teens, so looking forward to that. Well, let's go around the SEC and get in some storylines in the conference.
You love the game. We love the game. That's why we bring you the latest from across the conference. Your favorite teams, the big matchups, the breaking news. Get your college game on.
Time to go around the SEC.
All right, just to get to some few little news nuggets, starting with the Arkansas Razorbacks. This came out yesterday, Tommy. Jeremy Patton left practice early with an injury, but came back in a boot. He's going to be evaluated at a later point in time. But, you know, you never want to see anybody injured at all. But if he was a position and for depth purposes tied in, they have plenty of guys to step up there. But still, going to be watching for that one.
Apparently, when he first got injured in practice, they thought it might possibly be a knee problem. Mm-hmm. Glad that he came back out in a boot, and it obviously indicates some kind of ankle issue in a walking boot. But, if you go and you listen to some of the interviews from some of the other players at hitthatline.com, it kind of indicates, and I think C.J. O'Grady, Cheyenne O'Grady is on there. You can listen to him. Kind of indicate it's probably not as severe as it was first thought to be or feared to be. So hopefully he's back, and we'll see if he's back at practice today or in the next couple of days and ready to go.
You know, it wouldn't be around the SEC if I didn't give you an Alabama quarterback update, because it seems to be the biggest storyline in the SEC. This actually comes from Paul Feinbaum. He's citing a very reliable inside source that the only quarterback competition at Alabama is for Tua's backup. So he's hearing that it's going to be Tua all the way. Seems like the smart decision. And Jalen Hurts is probably not going to be a happy camper once the opening game comes around.
Reese Davis did a sit-down with I was on one of the college football shows on one of the ESPNs I was watching last night, and he was doing a sit-down with Saban, and, you know, Jalen Hurts missed some practice time leading up to that national championship game. He was going back to and reflecting back on this transition at quarterback, and he said he was like 54 of 58 in practice against their number one defense leading up to that game, They started Hurts, but Saban said in the back of his mind he knew he had a guy that if things didn't go well for Hurts because of his lack of practice, he could put him in. He was very confident because of the way he had practiced against their number one defense. So that was kind of the birth of it all. And I had not heard that story before, but with those stats at least. We knew he had practiced because of Hurts not playing, but he got into some real specifics in that interview about why this move was necessary when it was necessary and why he was so comfortable with it.
Yeah. And I think Tua is going to be – he's just one of those players that if he can't come in the second half of the biggest stage of the national championship game and play that well against a great team like Georgia, we're probably going to have to deal with Alabama being another great team for an extended period of time. Let's just be honest about that. But there's your update in the Alabama quarterback situation, which I know everyone was talking about.
Yeah. All right, this SEC update brought to you by Workman's Travel Center. Workman's Travel Center and Rudy, Ozark, and Lowell for all your game day needs, T-shirts, sunglasses, bumper stickers, car magnets, face paint. They got everything you might forget at home. Go by Workman's Travel Center. Exit 24 in Rudy on your way to the game. They're open 24 hours a day. The Ozark Mountain Grill there for you, too, with barbecue, sliced brisket sandwiches. They'll have a game day special all coming up in about 18 days, so be sure and stop in at Workman's Travel Center. Just off I-49 on your way to and from the game at Exit 24 in Rudy. Again, 24 hours a day. Or stop in any of the three locations at Workman's Travel Center in Rudy, Ozark, and in Lowell.
I know this is technically not an SEC team, but it does have an impact on Arkansas. Colorado State announces their head coach Mike Bobo has been admitted to the hospital to undergo testing after experiencing numbness in his feet following Saturday night's scrimmage. He's feeling very encouraged by the test results to this point and hopes to have answers soon. But that's definitely something to watch for if Colorado State head coach Mike Bobo can't be full go for this season, especially early in the season when Arkansas plays him.
Yeah, and that is something, like I said, worth following there in could be a lot of different things, numbness in your feet, some neuropathy there. So, interesting that you think it would, I don't know, this time you're hearing about heat-related and, stress-related type stuff from being out on the practice field. So maybe it's all connected somehow. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe so, but we'll have to see exactly how that's going to play out. And in Arkansas, I know we'll be very fascinated to see how that plays out.
It's amazing to me more of these coaches don't have greater health problems just because of the stress of the job. I mean, stress is such a great impact on your body.
Mm-hmm.
And all these guys are under an immense amount of stress. It's, maybe they hide it well. Maybe they are. A lot of them have more issues than we realize. But, it is pretty amazing. We don't read about and see more health issues with football coaches because of the long hours and the amount of pressure they're under.
Yeah. I think they're just wired different. I think that they are able to take that stress, and or else they wouldn't be in the position that they're in today.
I think it's what drives them.
That's true, too. It's a matter of do you embrace it and let it drive you, or do you just let it make you crumble down? So, I'm surprised by that, too, but hopefully Mike Bobo will be all right with that health evaluation. Another thing going on, SEC Network Chris Doering says that Mississippi State's going to go 11-1. Tommy, thoughts?
I don't see them. I do think they could win 8 or 9 this year. They're the hot team. Everyone's hot pick, but 11-1, that would be quite a story for Joe Moorhead in his first season. They got quite a quarterback there in Fitzgerald, but I don't see 11-1. Do you?
No, not at all. No. I just feel like it'd be way too crazy to think that Dan Mullen and how great of a coach he was and how some of the great players that he had. Best season he had, I think, was 10-3. That first-year head coach Jim Moorhead just walks in and then does better than Dan Mullen could have ever done. That just seems crazy. But anyways, I don't buy it. I don't think Mississippi State's going to be that team. In fact, it'd probably make a lot of people sick if Mississippi State went 11-1.
I'm guessing the one would be to Bama.
Yes. Yeah. Any time there's an SEC West team with one loss predicted, you can always guarantee it's against Alabama. Against nobody else. So, but going out to the basketball side of things, this has to do with Arkansas as well. An NBA executive was asked about Arkansas big man Daniel Gafford from the Nike Skills Academy that Daniel was a part of, and he said, quote, "He was awesome, monster on the glass, both ends, was finishing and dunking everything, runs the floor well, switched onto the guards and did a good job of defending, really affected shots in the paint." Newsflash, Tommy, Daniel Gafford is a good NBA prospect, according to the NBA executive at the NBA at the Nike Skills Academy.
Well, that ability to run the floor, I've always thought was his best asset. In it, obviously he can play and he goes through his rebounding skills and But he gets up and down the floor. Most big men don't run the floor well. He runs the floor like a forward, man. So I think that's where he's going to make his money.
Mm-hmm. I mean, as good as anybody, and he's just imagine what the Arkansas basketball team would be looking like right now if they didn't have Daniel Gafford returning for this year.
Yeah, and that will be on display again, like you said, this year. But he is, to me, that's his best skill. And it's just his ability to move for a guy his size the way he does.
Yeah, and it's good to hear the praise for the Arkansas big man, Daniel Gafford, on that too. I know it's all about football, but you had to throw in some basketball nuggets there as well.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas, 80 yards.
Kevin Traynor, the Associate Athletic Director and Strategic Public Relations for the University of Arkansas, and also Executive Producer of the Broyles, Frank Broyles tribute film, Frank Broyles, Arkansas legend. Good morning, Kevin. Appreciate you joining us.
Hey, good morning, John. Good morning, Tommy.
Good morning.
And, you know, we've been talking a lot about Frank and just the things that he was able to do in Coach Broyles. And just this tribute video, I haven't been able to watch. It just came out this morning. Kind of give us a little insight onto it. How was it set up? How did you go about it? What were the things that you guys looked for in making this possible? Because anytime you can have a tribute video of Coach Broyles, I'm sure it's going to be a great one.
Well, as you mentioned, you could go 3 hours talking about Coach Broyles this morning. And you know, we could go many hours in trying to recap the life and the legacy of Coach Frank Broyles. But what we really wanted to do was create a piece that maybe for those who aren't familiar or know just a little bit about Coach Broyles and the things that he was involved with over his career, to give them a good sense and give them an overview. As Tommy was mentioning earlier, one of his great, there are so many ways in which he left a legacy in different areas of his life, and that's truly remarkable. Most of us are fortunate to be known or to carry some legacy in one portion of our lives, and Coach did it in about five or six. So. Yeah. It truly is a short encapsulation of what he's done. But went to two guys that know the Razorbacks, know this state, and excellent filmmakers, and Jim Borden and Larry Foley, and they did a wonderful job at putting this together and really capturing the many aspects of Frank Broyles.
Now, our listeners can go to ArkansasRazorbacks.com and watch that. It's already up and available this morning. Give our listeners a sense of what they're going to see. And it's about a 15-minute presentation. I don't know how you got it all, how you narrowed it down to 15 minutes, Kevin.
Well, that's the toughest part. I mean, you know, I think what they'll enjoy seeing is some of those things that they've seen before. Certainly, his life as a coach, some of the clips of him as a broadcaster with Keith Jackson are always some of my favorites. But I'll tell you, one of my favorite sections of it is, I would hear for many years about Coach Broyles as a player and his Orange Bowl record passing game that stood until early 2000s, actually, when he played for Georgia Tech. And in this film, to see Frank Broyles step back in a color clip and throw a pass and complete a pass and see him play, that was something that was really special to me. I've seen a lot of clips over the years and heard those stories, but to see him playing and competing as an athlete was really something I thought was extremely special.
Kevin, one of the things that we also talked about was just some of the accomplishments and some of the decisions that Coach Broyles made as an athletic director. One of the most notable ones is getting into the SEC, which we all know how that's paid off dividends, and there's many other things, but it's kind of a scary thought to look back of what would the University of Arkansas look like right now if it wasn't for Frank Broyles, just the impact that he had. It's kind of just a weird thought to think about of how would it be different if Arkansas didn't have somebody like Coach Broyles to lead the charge in so many different decisions that he made.
Well, one of his true gifts was his vision, and as you mentioned, where would our program be? Where would the University of Arkansas as an institution be without the vision that he had to get out ahead of things? I mean, people forget when Arkansas moved to the Southeastern Conference, that was really the first domino in a long chain that would happen over the next decade of realignment and that sort of thing. But Coach Broyles knew that when the Southwest Conference disintegrated, that Arkansas was likely going to get left out. and that would they would be left with nowhere to go. And so not only did he make sure Arkansas didn't get left out, he took it to the Premier Conference and helped make it turn into the powerful conference that, that we have today. I think clearly Arkansas and South Carolina going to the SEC, allowing that SEC football championship game, not only forged a new future for the University of Arkansas, but changed the landscape, and the SEC is what it is today in part because of all those things that were made. So his ability to see what lies ahead, to not rest on his laurels, and certainly had many accomplishments he could sit back and just enjoy, but he was always looking ahead, and I think that's what made him so successful.
He was certainly a great visionary, as you talk about there, KT, but I think one of his great legacies, you know, and you had a front row seat for this, is how he just made everyone better. And I was trying to articulate this and probably did a very poor job of it earlier. And you've had a front row seat for it for so many years, whether it was coaches, whether it was players, so many people he worked with and around and players that played for him have all went on to just massive success in their own lives, their own professional lives, their own personal lives. And the common denominator was Frank Broyles in a lot of ways. And to me, that's a huge part of his legacy.
Well, he was always always encouraging, always there with a word, you know. And as I mentioned to someone the other day, I said, Coach Broyles never sat you down in a chair and said, here is the meaning of life. It was never that way. But throughout the day, throughout interchanges with him, he would share with you bits and pieces that not only applied to that moment, but helped you in life. You realize later that he wasn't just talking about the task that you were working on or the challenge you were facing. I mean, it applied to much more than that. And his confidence in people and the way that he engaged with people, not only his coaches, his players, his staff, the media, but people he didn't know who came up to him on the street or at a game and interacted with him. He always took time. He looked him in the face. Coach Broyles always carried around a Sharpie pen because he was ready to sign an autograph if he needed to sign one, and just to spend the time with Razorback fans and made them feel a part of this program. That's the great secret of what he built here at Arkansas, is everyone in this state felt a part of it, and he was a big reason why they felt a part of it.
Kevin, Tommy mentioned how you just had a front row seat and you were around him a lot. Is there a story that's one of your favorite things that stand out? Maybe it's a story that not many people know of, an interaction that you had with Coach Broyles at some point?
Well, Coach was great. I was very blessed and fortunate to be around him for many years, both in a professional and a personal sense. And you know, there are so many stories, but one of my favorite stories has to do with where it was a little bit of a disagreement or something. He was not understanding what I was saying, and he looked at me and he said, "Everything you're saying makes no kind of sense." And so I treasure that because later on we got to where we needed to be. But there were special moments with him to be around when he impacted the lives of people. I remember I was one of the first people that he called after Barbara, his wife, passed away. And it was just a really touching moment. I remember being taken aback that I was in this extremely intimate moment. And then later on for him to become a part of my family and my mother-in-law to become his second wife was something that was special to me and something that I got to be around him until, you know, a year ago today. And so those are all things that I can never forget and will always be a part of who I am.
Kevin, obviously, you know, a new day, a transformation in so many ways on this campus. New coach, new look at the stadium. If Coach Broyles were with us today, what do you think his words or his thoughts, his sentiments would be about the upcoming season, the new stadium, and just, you know, 18 days until we start it all again?
Well, this is the time of year that Coach Broyles loved, and he would be excited. He would, you know, to see Coach Morris and his team, to see the things that Hunter Yurchek is doing with the program. And you know, this is a time where the entire state kind of rallies together. There's optimism. People are excited about the season. And
And then, as you mentioned, the football stadium. And, you know, Coach Broyles, you know, renovated the Razorback Stadium many times. And when we think about opening it up in 2001, I mean, totally changed the look of that stadium, added the east upper deck, added the south. And he'd be very proud, because one thing that Coach Broyles never did, as we mentioned, is he never rested on those laurels. You always were moving ahead. And so now, as the north end zone opens, as fans can go around the stadium, as just a new aspect is that crowd noise will be there. He would be very excited to see that. And so I really think this is a time that he would be extremely excited about the future of Razorback Athletics. He was always very optimistic, and that was one of the keys to it. He didn't get caught up in people that didn't believe or wanted to point out things that reasons that couldn't work. He wanted to find a way to make it work. So I know he'd be very excited about what's going on here at the university and excited for the upcoming season.
Yeah, in a stadium that still the field bears his name. So
absolutely. And you know, I know he was not a guy that wanted to be honored much. He saw that, but he really saw that field as a tribute to the players that played for him and the coaches that coached for him. But I know when he walked out there in 2007, and that's one of the clips in the film, when his players followed him from the end zone, that was one of the moments that I'll never forget.
Kevin Traynor, Associate Athletic Director and Strategic Public Relations for the University of Arkansas, as well as a close friend of Coach Frank Broyles. Be sure to check out Frank Broyles' Arkansas Legend, a tribute video on ArkansasRazorbacks.com. We'll also be sure to share it on our social media as well. Great stuff, Kevin. Really appreciate you joining us, man. And I'm sure we'll be catching up with you later down the road.
Guys, appreciate it, and look forward to seeing you here for the season really soon.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.